Good to be together this morning, enjoying this series as we're looking in Scripture at different anatomy parts of God as He presents Himself. I remember when I was a child, my dad coming home from work being a really big deal. And I remember sometimes when he would come home, we would always, when we hear that door or hear the car slam outside, we would run towards the front door. Occasionally, Dad would come in with his hands behind his back. We instantly knew what that meant. We were like, "Do you have a surprise for us?" And he had stopped by, usually he had stopped by some little shop and gotten three new Hot Wheels cars, one for each of us, you know. And he'd pull his hands out and he would deliver to us this great gift. Now, that's not always what happened when Dad came home. Some days we'd hear the car door and events had transpired in our house that made us run from the front door because we had pushed the limit, mom to the limit, to that wait until your father gets home limit. Okay, and so things had not been good. We knew exactly what we'd be getting from his hands when he got home in that event. Now, both of those weren't the regular events. Those were somewhat normal. They weren't shocking when they came upon us, but it was by no means the majority of the time what we got from the hands of my dad when he came home. But very regularly, very consistently, what we got as we ran to the front door was his outstretched hand, just calling us into his lap, just calling us into his arms, welcoming us into his love. So his hands played a variety of roles. You know, it depended. Depended on the situation I was in. It was dependent on the circumstances. It depended on what he was after when he got home as to what role his hand played in our life. But one thing's for sure, his hands played a big role in interacting with us, in loving us. Everything he did, for the most part, can just be explained by his love. His hands played a huge role in his actual relationship with me. And evidently, according to Scripture, that is exactly true about God's hands as well. That His hands are used by Him to play a specific interpersonal role with you. Now, really, Scripture does amazing things with the hand of God. I mean, it packs massive amounts of power into the hands of God. I mean, the magnitude of the, if we could literally see the hand of God, I mean, you can't separate like the hand of God's size from the size of God Himself, because as we know, He doesn't have actual appendages. He's just using our appendages to try to explain Himself because He wants us to know Him so desperately. But Scripture takes His hands, and it doesn't have a vocabulary large enough to try to pack the hands of God with what they are packed with. We're talking about Independence Day here in our nation. Well, when the Jewish nation, if it was going to celebrate its Independence Day, it would remember the story back in Exodus when they were rescued from the slavery of the Egyptians. They were brought across the Red Sea. That would be the day, that day that they were taken across the Red Sea, from one land to another, completely demolishing their enemy and giving them a new freedom. And Scripture attributes that to the hand of God. Exodus 15 says that Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. Then when Moses passed the baton to Joshua, they crossed another body of water, the Jordan River. And after they had done that, they picked up 12 rocks from the Jordan River, built an altar. God told them to build that so that their kids would ask what that's about. What is that? And then it says in Joshua 4:24, He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. David's poetry is packed with putting things into the hand of God that are just amazing, the breadth of which we could never exhaust here. But he sums up in one verse in chapter 45 where he says, "Let your right hand display awesome deeds." Job is talking about the hand of God. It talks about how all-encompassing of Him it is and of life and everything. He says, in His hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. I mean, words just do not do justice to the magnificence of the hand of God. It cannot be overstated in terms of power, in terms of size, in terms of impact capacity, in terms of responsibility, in terms of activity, in terms of what the hand of God is maintaining. It is huge. It is capable. It is powerful. It is mighty. All the great deeds of history that have ever happened and will happen take place by His hand. And yet those hands are being utilized. Those hands, as big as they are being utilized to shape and interact with little old me. All of the power of those hands, according to Scripture, is being utilized. They're being coming down and they are being used to shape and interact and love you. Isaiah 64:8 grabs this feeling in mind. He says, yet, as big as God is, yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of Your hand. With all that His hand has to do. Have you ever heard the term, you might see this, or some of you might have experienced this, when you put in your resume and you're overqualified for a job? You know, it's like the capacity, your capacity is so much larger than the job you're kind of signing up for. That's how I feel when I think of the hands, as I've studied Scripture about them, giving all their attention to me and to you. They are way overqualified, but they are. That's what they're doing. And they're doing that today, like right now. He is trying to use His hand to shape you more into the image of Christ today. Like He never stops that work, and He's after you right now. The Psalms are very descriptive of the different roles that the hand of God plays with you. The lump of clay, that's you. As He shapes you into the image of Christ, as He reshapes you, if you will, back into His image that you started with in Adam and Eve. David really grabs a lot of the roles that the hand of God has played. And I've isolated 5 of the roles. Just, there's so much to say, but I just looked in the Psalms. And I've isolated 5 roles, 5 specific personal roles. As specific as my dad's hands were with the gifts he brought to me, whether it was discipline or presence or outstretched, as personal as that was to me as his son, his hand is personal to you. Here's the 5 roles. We see in the Psalms God's disciplining hand. We see His satisfying hand. We see His guiding hand. His sustaining hand. We see His saving hand. Let me just start here where I'm going to end here in a few minutes. Which one do you need today? Oh, you need one. You might have only stopped and paused to think about it right now. Which one? Where are you at in your life? What are you needing from God? Because the good news, church, is that He sends His hand. And He helps us right where we're at. His arm, which we're not talking about today, stretches all the way from heaven to you. Right where you are. And He can take care of you. Which one do you need today? A few minutes, I'm going to, after I do a little teaching on each one of these, give everyone here a chance to respond to the hand of God. And that is the point. One of my great sorrows about how we do church today is that I get up here and get to participate, and you sit there passively and listen. Just embedded in the way we do it here, there's a lot of good stuff about it, okay? But embedded in the way we do church here is this subtle message that that's what Christianity is. It's about listening. And it is. It is about listening to Christ, to God, but way more. Even Christ, if we'll listen to Him, it's about responding. It's about interacting. When my dad came home with a prize in his hand or discipline in his hand, he was looking for a response from me. That's what he was after. And that's what God's after from all of you today. Which one do you need? I want you to confess it to him today. I want you to really grab hold of that. Let me pray for us as we consider the hand of God. Father, we lift our hands up to you, knowing that we can't get very close with our hand, but you send yours all the way here. God, we come to you this morning out of our great need. You said, no one who comes to you will be turned away. I can't believe that. And yet I need it to be true. So thank you as we come to you. I dare pray today, God, that something will happen to us in the presence of your hand. We know we need to be changed. We know we need to be shaped. We need all of the power that is packed in your hand put on little old us. God, the visions we've had of following you, they've been kind of dulled in some of us. God, for some of us, sins have crept in and become even a priority to some of us. God, for some of us, discouragement or disbelief just stops us cold in living like your son. Most of us have made decisions without consulting you. For some, greed rules the day. For some others of us, the easy way dominates our lives. Change us, God. Interact with us. Love us in the way we need it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So what do you need today? Which one? Do you need his disciplining hand? David did. Psalm 32, he says, when he's talking about a sin that he was carrying around, he says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You need God's disciplining hand today if there's something in you that needs to be confronted. Okay, this might be the hardest one for us to deal with, but we don't. Everybody needs to be confronted in some way at some time. It does not have to be bad news. As a matter of fact, it's not, especially when it comes from the hand of God. This is the idea that I need correction, and that's when we need the hand of God. An example in the Old Testament is when the Ark of the Covenant had been taken off and put in a foreign land, in the land of Ashdod. And the Lord wanted that to change. And so in 1 Samuel 5, it says, the Lord's hand was heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. Some of you have had tumors. God did that to these guys. Why? It does. I admit it. It challenges when I read something like that. The idea of a loving God. It doesn't seem to make sense. But God and Christ later, and the Hebrew writer who I'm going to read in a minute, puts these things in context. He does explain what happened to these guys in Ashdod. He was disciplining them because he needed to confront them in something. Something that wasn't according to his will. I remember one time, just thinking of the heavy hand of God, one time I'd borrowed a friend's car. I was a young youth minister and I got to borrow a brand new Saab Turbo. Emphasis on the turbo. And I don't know what he was thinking. I was a young 20-something youth minister and he handed me the keys. He didn't say be careful when he let me borrow it. He said, have fun. I remember that going, this is great. What a great friend. And so I got in and went downtown. I was doing some work in our inner city church and I had gone down into the ghetto, putting something noble in what I'm about to tell you. And I was going too fast. And I ran into the back of a Mazda Miata and I dented his front fender. He was out of town, fortunately. So I took it to the shop and I paid to get it fixed and I returned it to him. All is well, except the heavy hand of God was on me. And it stayed on me for a week or so before my friend Bingy, he came through the church office and he was going down the office, talked to another staff member, and I came out and I said, "Hey, Bingy." He goes, "Hey." And I said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" He came into my office. I confessed to him. It's not fun having the heavy hand of God on you, but I am telling you the only way out of the heavy hand, and you have tried lots of ways to get out from under the heavy hand of God. Denial, rationalizing. Find a scripture to proof text what you're doing as being somewhat biblical, but you can't escape it. You feel it. The only way out is what David says. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. Where in your life do you feel the weight? Do you right now? Do you need this discipline? There is a way out, but you need the discipline of God. It won't be relieved until then. I know, God bringing devastation and affliction really doesn't seem loving sometimes. Neither did the discipline of my father, by the way, when he came in with the disciplining hand. In Hebrews 12, the Hebrew writer kind of goes into extensive chunk of scripture here to try to explain this. He says in verse 5, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline." What if you just tried that? What if you just tried taking any hardship that you have and starting with this perspective that the Hebrew writer gives us? Just assume there's some loving discipline in it. You got nothing to lose. I mean, the worst that can happen is you die. And that's the best that could happen for us if we believe what we're saying. So the discipline of God is something that we need to embrace. You need to confront something? Really, be honest. You need to respond today, okay? Some of you, you're not here. This isn't what the hand of God you need. Some of you, it most certainly is. Do you need to confront a sinful behavior? Self-defeating attitude? An unchristlike attitude towards someone else? A judgmental spirit? Self-righteous feeling? An unhealthy relationship, some kind of evil habit. Some of you are squirming right now because the heavy hand of God is trying to love you. Maybe you don't need the disciplining hand of God. Maybe you need the satisfying hand of God. Psalm 104 says, "These all look to you to give them their food at their proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things." God satisfies when you have a need that needs to be met, and you have them every day. You need your daily bread. Guess who's meeting that need? It's not strictly the work of your hands that did that, and you've got it in your bank account to eat lunch today. Scripture says that it's God's hand that feeds, God's hand that clothes, God's hand that shelters. God pays the rent. Did you know that? God pays the note. God gives the gifts. God gives you the ability to give gifts. God. He's the one that satisfies. Get that through your mind. Let it saturate in so that you are never tempted to forget that you are completely dependent on God for your daily bread. We lose sight of this in our blessed society, no doubt. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18 identifies another society that said that. Said, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you even the ability to produce wealth." It's about God. Bobby Martin, you know, is in Zimbabwe where this is much clearer. It's much clearer right now that if there's going to be daily bread for a family, where that's going to come from, because there are not the hands of men except those that are in service to God. Do you? I don't want you to be ashamed of this. I want you to admit it. Do you need anything today? Are there some necessities that you need? Are you struggling to pay the rent? Are you trying to find a car so you can have a job? Are you struggling to buy clothes for your kids? Are you struggling to eat? Maybe just to have money to eat healthy. Do you need anything? If so, then you need the satisfying hand of God. Psalm 139 also talks about the guiding hand of God. He says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God guides those who need to be told what to do next. You need the guiding hand if you're out there saying, you know what, I need specific instruction. Even Jesus says that he does nothing without the guidance of his Father in heaven. If there was anyone on the planet that I would think would be wise enough to live life and make decisions and apply the kingdom principles to his life in every relationship and in every move he makes in his life, it would be Jesus. And yet, in John 5, he says, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Some of you are making tons of profound decisions without seeking counsel at all. For some of you, it's because of a well, deeply planted belief that God doesn't guide like that anymore. We spent lots of time on that here. I don't believe it. I don't think Scripture teaches it. I need his guidance. Jesus did too. Again in John 5 he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Do you need to know what to do next? Are you in some position, some question mark, is what to do next in any area? Wherever you are, even there, God's hand will guide you, according to this psalm. You need the guiding hand of God. Psalm 18 talks about the sustaining hand of God. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. God sustains when doing so continues to give him glory. Maybe you're in your life, and this is how I know everybody here needs something. Even if you are like in a groove with God, you're like moving. It seems like the kingdom is advancing in your life and you're full of joy and peace. Yes, things happen and you're dealing with them though. You feel almost like untouchable a little bit spiritually. You're getting to see some fruit, some transformation in your heart, transformation in the lives of people you're in relationship with. You're doing the work of Christ and it's going great. Well, guess what? You're not sustaining that. And you still need his hand to sustain it. If you've got the perfect life, which no one does, but if you do, it is not by your hand. And you need to respond today. You need to say, acknowledge, this stuff is going well. And that's by your hand. And I need you to sustain it. I'm taking ground in my marriage. I need you to sustain that. My kids seem to be doing well. Good trajectory. And our relationship's good. I need you to sustain it. You know, the economy's going down, but I'm surviving. I've got enough for today. That's what you promised. I need you to sustain that. Is that where you're at? Things are going well with you and God. Ezra talks about a time in Ezra 7. It talks about the king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. You know, a lot of us say when we get favor, man, I get anything I want. We don't attribute it to the hand of the Lord sustaining us, making the ground bigger beneath us, helping us out. It's because of our giftedness or the great speech I gave or the money I paid, or, you know, we give credit to something. I would take the hand of God sustaining my life as a guarantee that tomorrow will go well than the favor of all the world. That's how powerful His hand is. Do you need things to keep going the way that they are, in all the ways that are going well? Then you need the sustaining hand of God. But maybe some in here are a little more desperate than even any of these. Maybe some of you are in a position where, you're desperate. He has an answer for you too. Psalm 108:6 says, "Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered." God sends His saving hand to us when we need to be rescued. Matthew 14, let this little story from the life of Jesus and Peter kind of represent in all the ways you might need to be rescued today. It's right after Matthew sees Jesus walking on the water, volunteers to jump out the boat, be like his teacher, walk on the water. He gets out, has a few moments of glory, walks on the water like Jesus did. Then he looks around and he's afraid. Says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." You been there? Are you there? Peter found himself there. And that's Peter. And you see what Jesus did? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. That's what God will do. Are you desperate? Do you need to be saved from some situation you're in? Or maybe more cosmically, maybe you need to be saved from living life your way or the world's way. And you need to take on Christ and decide to live His way. If you do, then you need the saving hand of God. Let me ask our elders and ministers to go ahead and move around to their spots. As you look at this list and ask the question, what hand do you need? You remember, He has an agenda as He takes you into His hands. He's trying to give you the best possible life. He's trying to shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what He's after. And He comes in, and sometimes in a clay pot that's being sculpted by an artist, those hands have to do different moves. Like the people who are trained in that, they learn different shaping skills. Sometimes they got to go inside, or they got to pinch it, or they got to just, massage it a little bit. Sometimes they crumple it up, and they have to kind of rebuild that because a flaw got stuck in there or something, and they just want to take care of that. Maybe they know how to do patchwork on little things. God's hands know how to do it. He knows how to do it. I know you have a need today. And He's after you today. What do you need? Do you need correction? Do you have unmet needs? Do you need specific instruction? Do you need continuation, fuel for what's going well? Do you need to be rescued? You have the opportunity to do that today. And I'm not asking you to do anything that Jesus Christ Himself didn't think the wisest thing to do. At His desperate hour. You know what He said? Luke records it. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." What do you need? Pick one of these. Use one of these as an excuse to go to someone here. And interact on that. And be prayed for and call for the hand of God. He's asking you not to hear this, not to think it's a clever way of approaching Scripture, the anatomy of God, the hand of God. He's looking for you to respond today to change. Let's stand, let's sing, and let's respond to God in any way that you need.